I talk to our guys a lot about, you know, life is bigger than baseball. And while, of course, we all have a passion for the game and trying to get better, I think we have to do what's right for the greater good. While it's frustrating as a coach and players to not be able to do the things we love to do, I think it's more important to be global citizens and making sure we're slowing things down so we can get back to some sense of normal reality.
On this episode of the Leading Edge podcast, we talk with head baseball coach at Coronado High School in Coronado, California, Coach Morgan Cummins. Coach Cummins details his time as a player and as a head coach both at Claremont McKenna College and Coronado High School. Coach Cummins talks about how he's helping his players to remember that they need to be good global citizens and what they expect from themselves in the short term and in the upcoming season. Without any further ado, Coach Cummins on the Leading Edge podcast. We're going to have to start with the full disclaimer that Morgan and I played together. So this interview will be unlike other ones, but similar in its caliber of coach, because I've got such strong respect for Morgan as a teammate when we played together and then now as a coach. And so I appreciate you joining me today, Morgan.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, man. Well, what does your day-to-day look like right now with kind of the stay-at-home order, and you're an employee of the school district, and then you've got the team and the season was canceled. What does today look like for you on a daily basis?
It's pretty funny, man. I feel like I'm on Groundhog Day because my day starts with my son waking me up at about 7:30. Then we watch the same rerun of Monster Jam for the 20th time in a row while I transfer from the bed to the couch. Then my wife and my daughter get up eventually and I feed her, and then that pretty much starts our day. And then I spend most of my day dadding with dad life, playing with my son, making sure my daughter gets fed and my wife gets a break, and answering emails and stuff when I get a chance to. Fortunately, we're on spring break right now, so there's not a lot of work to be done. But after spring break, we're picking up with working from home. So it'll be a lot of video conferencing, a lot of emails, and crazy times. You know, it's always in our profession, it's nicer to be face-to-face with people, but we're learning how to do things from home.
How do you keep in touch with your team and try and make sure that they're making as much progress as possible and working towards being the best baseball players they can be?
So actually right now CIF says we're on a no contact period. So I can't even talk to the players right now. If they just text me like questions here and there, I can answer, but I can't be organizing any practice or games or any sort of stuff. They can't even organize captain's practice right now. So it's pretty crazy time where they're kind of just on their own to improve the best they can by themselves.
That doesn't seem like the most beneficial course of action for the players or for the team in general. Do you have any thoughts that you care to share on that that verdict?
I think it's just a tough thing in general. You know, I feel really bad for our seniors. They've worked really hard to get to this point, and to have everything be put on hold, I think it's been tough. Obviously, I wish we could still be working out, but I think there's an equity thing there where some teams are probably doing a lot more than others. And I talk to our guys a lot about, you know, life is bigger than baseball. And while, of course, we all have a passion for the game and trying to get better, I think we have to do what's right for the greater good right now. And that's keeping our social distancing. So while it's frustrating as a coach and players to not be able to do the things we love to do, I think it's more important to be global citizens and making sure we're slowing things down so we can get back to some sense of normal reality.
That's a very grounded and mature perspective from an individual who graduated from the Harvard of the West, Claremont McKenna. And Coach, you had a brief major league career, professional baseball, I should say. And how are you going to foster those opportunities for your seniors and, you know, junior years, a major season for your high school players to be seen and be recognized? What are you going to do to try and help your players get recruited? What steps are you taking?
So we're still kind of keeping our fingers crossed and hoping we're going to be able to do some showcases here during the summer. So just nominating our players that are Division I caliber to get seen in the showcases, hopefully. Just reaching out to different colleges, letting them know the players we have and the caliber of talent that we have. And right now it's a lot more word of mouth than being able to be seen. So I think the biggest part right now is getting names on people's radars and trying to get them known to the different schools that are out there.
Having won a CIF championship and been a city champion in recent history certainly helps. And you're in the process of building a formidable powerhouse year in and year out. How does this impasse, this COVID-19 affect, you know, the program that you're building?
I think it just hurts the development. You know, the only way to get better is to be out there and playing. And while, you know, you can get so much better in terms of practice in the weight room and stuff, really where you learn about the game and you learn about life is by playing the games. And unfortunately, not having those opportunities right now, I think that's the biggest thing that's just hurting our players, that ability to develop and grow by competing and playing against other teams and really seeing what you're made of and learning how to overcome adversity. So I think, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the games are opportunities to show what our brand is and who we are. And unfortunately, we really haven't been able to extend those opportunities while we've been sitting here waiting to find out if we can play some more games.
Have you been able to pass that mindset on to your players where they feel like they're global citizens and they recognize that their resume is what they put out on the field? You know, how resilient an attitude do they have throughout all this?
I think our students are extremely resilient. You know, of course, in the beginning, there's a lot of frustration and a lot of sadness in the seniors of missing out on some opportunities to play some games. But we talk all the time about how life is bigger than baseball and how we need to take what we learn from the game and apply it to ourselves as human beings. So I think that the farther we continue to get removed from this, the more we realize that it's more important about taking care of each other as we would on a team than it is necessarily about highlights of winning a game here or there.
What's the community been like for you, the parents and the locals? I know there are a lot of enthusiasts and supporters of Islander baseball. How have they been throughout the whole event?
Just COVID-19 or like through the whole, just the program?
No, through, yeah, through COVID-19 and the school closure and such.
You know, it's been really hard because we've kind of been, like I said, on this like no contact period. So I almost feel like I haven't even talked to or seen any of our players or our parents in a few weeks now. But I know everybody's been really supportive. We have a great group of support in the community, like you said, whether it's parents, whether it's individuals in town or people like yourself, who alumni who have cared a lot about continuing the development of this program. And you know, we all realize where we have been and where we're trying to go. And we've had nothing but great support in that passage along the way.
How much enthusiasm was there for this season? The season had just started. You guys had a couple games under your belt. Where were you at prior to the shutdown?
You know, if we're thinking selfishly and just baseball-wise, it was a really tough time for us to get shut down. First off, we were just really excited about the season. We had some people returning. And some guys in some new opportunities. The first week of the season, we had a tough challenge where we played three of the top five teams in the county and weren't quite up to that, but we had won our next four games, three of which were in our division and one of which was against a Division I team. The last game we played was a really hard-fought win against a Division I Bonita Vista team that was really good. So I really thought we were starting to hit our stride. We were really starting to come together in terms of buying in and playing for each other. And I really thought we were just starting to begin our ascension of what we were capable of doing. So, you know, to win four in a row and then have the season stopped was kind of a tough thing. But at the same time, that's, you know, kind of a selfish view. And baseball-wise, it was tough. But in the end, it's really more about just keeping everybody safe.
Sure. And you've been a part of the San Diego baseball scene for a long time. And you've had a lot of great teammates. You've played against a lot of great players, you know, first round draft picks and such. And so when you craft your leadership message, you know, who do you take from and how have you built the program there? What inspiration, what mottos, messages, and inspirations have you drawn from people and different thoughts that you've gathered along the way?
I mean, there's so many different people that I look up to and respect in leadership. It's something that I always continue to try and learn more about and take pieces here and there from different people that I learned from. But I'd say first and foremost, it'd start with our head coach, Sam Cece. You know, he was somebody who had a huge impact on me in terms of mental toughness and doing things yourself and being resourceful and not taking no for an answer. So I think first and foremost, we always want to be known as a program that's going to continue to build on that toughness and that mindset that we're not going to back down to anybody and we're always going to play with confidence. But there's also a lot of different people that I've learned from too. My head coach in college, Randy Town, was somebody who was a little bit more hands-off and allowed things to be organic. And I really respected that. It was something that I felt made me play the best as a player by not having somebody breathing down my neck, but somebody who supported me and just was like, do what you do and just focus on that. So, you know, I do try and blend the two of those of having hard-nosed toughness, but also giving players the opportunity to be themselves and express themselves. I also think that I try to be somebody, you know, John Wooden is somebody I look up to as a coach. You know, I've read a lot of his books. And one thing that I found that was really interesting about his programs was the first 2 weeks of practice, he would just do open gym and he would look and see what the talent was that he had. And then he would craft his offense based on what he was seeing in open gym. So it wasn't like, here's my program, here's my offense, and this is the way you're going to do it. And if you don't conform, then you're not going to be part of this thing. It was more like, let me see what I got, and then I'm going to mold my program based around the talent that I have. And so that's really something that I've tried to incorporate too, in terms of not trying to pigeonhole players, but try to see exactly what we have and put them in the, use their strengths to put them in the best chance to be successful. And I think that that's something that's really worked out for us, that combination of organic players being who they are and me as the coach trying to put them in the right spot to be successful, but at the same time having an overarching theme of being tough and being able to face adversity and not making it about yourself.
Yeah. You know, you're the John Wooden anecdote, I think, is appropriate. You know, from my time playing baseball, I found that the more I practiced it, the better I got, but it also overwhelmingly was a mental grind, and it was, and the mental component of it was really a huge factor. I'll have to elicit the Yogi Berra quote where he said baseball is 90% mental and the other half's physical to get you of course to that 140% number that everyone's looking for. But how do you groom and cultivate mental toughness inside of your program? Because you know, the game of baseball can be long, the practices are long, it takes a lot of focus. How do you harbor that mental toughness and foster that inside of your players?
You know, I wish I had the magic pill, because that's kind of the thing I'm still looking at, is it nature or nurture? Can you really teach somebody to be mentally tough, or do they just show up mentally tough or not? I think something that we do is I try and push people to the brink. You know, I try and not let them accept just being mediocre or doing things halfway, but that everything that we're going to do, we're going to do to the best of our ability and continue to ask more of ourselves. I try to make as many situations in practice in the games as possible that face adversity and talk about things we overcome. I also try and point out little things. We always reflect after every game of things we did well and things we maybe didn't do so well. And, you know, that night of sleeping on it really allows me to try and highlight the little things that go on throughout the game, because, you know, in life it's not always like everybody can respond to big things that happen, but to me the secret of success is all the little things, doing those little things right. And so just being able to highlight to the players, you know, little things maybe they did on the bench, one little situation here or there that led to our toughness. You know, one that really stands out to me is during our championship run in 2016 with a team that broke the school record for wins, we had a game where we're leading most of the game and we coughed it up in the bottom of the sixth and we're heading into the seventh. And I heard a player say, "Hey guys, it's more fun this way," you know? And so somebody on the bench that wasn't even playing, but had this attitude of, you know, we could have been down on ourselves and be like, "Oh man, we coughed the game up," but instead of like taking that positive spin on, say, it's going to be more fun to win the game like this. It's something that's really stood out to me throughout the years, and just, you know, trying to highlight little moments that come up through practice and games that show mental toughness. So hopefully that everybody takes a piece of that and, you know, can try and have that positive attitude to see things in a positive light, because, you know, we talk a lot about, it's not so much about what happens to you, but how do you respond to it?
I was fortunate enough to be at the championship game there at University of San Diego, and for you to get the win and to break the school record and to get that first championship under your belt, what did it mean to you?
It meant a lot. You know, I think every season means a lot, but that season was extra special because my brother, who's 13 years younger than me, was a senior on that team, and I had coached a lot of those guys since they were in Little League. So it was kind of like the culmination of everything that we had worked on to get to that point. You know, that team was really successful, but they had a lot of failures along the way to get to that point. You know, I think we lost the league 2 years in a row on JV when we were in the lead and coughed up the last couple of games. We had to go through a tough time period in their junior year where I went to coach college for a year. But coming back and seeing them, the growth that they had made, you know, we kind of just put everything together in that season. And it was really meaningful to see those guys play hard for each other. It really wasn't about any one person. That team really played as a group. It was always about what they could sacrifice and do for each other. And we had a ton of support. You know, we had our super fan there at a ton of games. And I knew we were going to win that day because after the national anthem, I'm walking off the field and I just hear this, "Let's go, Notto!" Hear the voice of super fan. And that, when I hear that and the fans got fired up, I knew that we were gonna win.
Guilty. Well, you were able to coach at Claremont McKenna where you played college baseball. And then now you're back at Coronado High where you played your high school baseball. How special is it to be able to coach the team where you once played inside of the program?
I mean, it means everything to me. I have this book of sayings that I try to read. I read one every day. And one of the sayings says, don't try and make an impact too far from home. You know, and I think to me, that means like you don't need to overextend yourself and, you know, go way out into the world to do things. If you can just make an impact in the place where you grew up and pass on the things that were given to you, that's going to be a meaningful life. And that's something that's really important to me is taking the experiences that I had as whether it was somebody being in the Coronado Unified School District as a student or whether it's being a coach for the baseball team. Just having the experiences I haven't been able to give back to the next generation and make them even better than what I had is something that is really important to me and kind of gives me my purpose in life to, you know, make the world a better place.
Yeah, well, shoot, we appreciate you. It's fun to work with champions, great group leaders like yourself, you know, and an awesome baseball team and a program that you're building. And we're fortunate to be a part of it. So I appreciate you coming on and talking with me a little bit about it today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks a lot, JT.
Thanks, Morgan. Well, that's some great perspective from Coach Cummins there, and we appreciate him joining us. It's no wonder that his team's won a city championship and is consistently in the hunt for future city championships because he's got his players really thinking about baseball and life in a really big picture fashion. So that'll do it for another episode of the Leading Edge Podcast. Thanks for listening.